Good evening, church. Good to see everybody out this afternoon. Hope that you brought a Bible with you. I invite you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10, as we look at the scriptures together this evening. I want to say a special welcome to our guests. We're so glad that you're here. Hope you can stick around for a few moments and get to know us, because we'd love to get to know you. And it's wonderful to be together to sing praises to God. Brother Andy's just done a fine job selecting songs, leading songs, I think really prepare our mind and our heart about the scriptures we're looking at tonight and the concepts about sharing the good news with others. We want to be disciple-making disciples and sharing the good news, the good word of God with others. But I want to start with a question. The question is this: are you thankful to be a Christian? In fact, it's not a trick question at all, so don't feel like I'm setting you up, but if you'd help me with one of my unscientific surveys, if you're thankful to be a Christian, would you raise your hand? Well, just about everybody in here, look at that, is thankful to be a Christian. And I'll tell you that I am too. Now, I wonder, have you heard the philosophy of Thanksgiving called pay it forward? Have you heard that expression? Several people nodding their heads. Yeah, we've heard it. The philosophy was popularized by a movie. It's actually getting to be kind of an old movie, back in 2000, by that name, Pay It Forward. But you know, this idea, this concept is a whole lot older than that movie. Benjamin Franklin wrote about this idea. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote about this idea. They didn't frame it quite so catchy. It was actually in 1916, a book called In the Garden of Delight by author Lily Hardy Hammond that wrote the phrase, "You don't pay love back, you pay it forward." See, the idea is that instead of kind of our traditional models of Thanksgiving, when we really are trying to repay someone, someone does something nice for us, and we even use that kind of terminology. We say, "Well, I owe you," or "I'll make it up to you," or "Hey, I'll pay you back." Instead of paying somebody back, what you do is you use that gratitude to help someone else. Some heretofore unseen third party is going to be the beneficiary of your gratitude. You pay it forward. I just think that's a neat idea. And I think it's a very helpful idea for Christians who are given a task by the Lord Jesus Christ to spread the gospel, to be disciple-making disciples, to make more disciples. Because there is no kindness or reciprocity sufficient for the salvation of your soul. In other words, we can't pay Jesus back. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what does Jesus tell us? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't pay Jesus back if you're a Christian tonight. Because look what he gave up to purchase you and the forgiveness of your sins. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. "No, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's what was given for you. You cannot pay it back. Not only this, but I would ask, how are you ever going to pay back that person or persons who taught you the good news? When we think about that person most responsible for you obeying the gospel and being a member of the Lord's church tonight, I'm sure you're close to them and you were friends with them and you want to appreciate them. They took the time to teach you the Bible and speak to you of Jesus and God's plan for salvation. But you know you're going to appreciate them a whole lot more when you're in heaven. And you just can't pay it back. I don't know how you'd ever pay it back. But the Bible doesn't tell us to pay it back. What does the Bible tell us to do? Take that good news and share it with another. The idea is very much pay it forward, but what I'm saying is say it forward. Take this good news and this message about your salvation. You can't pay it back, but you can give it to another. You can say it forward. Share the gospel with someone who is not a Christian. What do we see in Romans 10? And Brother Seth did a great job on his scripture reading. But what do we see in Romans 10? In verse number 12, we saw that you can talk to anybody about the gospel. It can be a Jew or a Gentile. And you know what? That's everybody. Romans 10 and verse 12 said, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Not only this, but Jesus will save anybody, Jew or Gentile, anybody. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They will respond to Christ and to the Lord. He will save them. He'll be their Savior. In verse 14, we begin to unpack the truth, though. People are going to believe, or rather respond when they believe. And they have to hear this truth in order to believe, in order to respond. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know what we also see here is, hey, you know what? Somebody needs to speak up and say it forward and tell someone the gospel. How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe? How are they going to respond and call upon the Lord? And someone has to go there and make that connection. Be sent. And make sure people hear this message. And it's a beautiful thing when people go and tell it. Verse 15. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I mean, I said a moment ago, I don't know how you pay back the person that taught you. I mean, bless their feet that they brought this word to you. It's incredible. People who believe the word are people who obey the gospel. Verse 16 says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Well, the Bible said that would happen. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is it then someone has believed the report of the gospel message when they obey the gospel? They have not obeyed the gospel. They have not believed the report. But what's going to get us to speak up and to say it forward? What's the fuel to go and to speak? I'm going to tell you what I'm working on, what I'm learning, is I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with another person from a place of gratitude. I really want thanksgiving and gratitude to be my fuel, to have an attitude of gratitude toward God. And I know there's other fuel that might motivate someone to share the word. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul shares, he knows about people that were preaching the gospel from selfish ambitions and trying to make his life harder, trying to heap more pain on him. So evidently there's that kind of fuel, selfishness, ambition, some type of malice. I don't exactly understand how that all played out, but he said, I know that's what's going on. I think some of us might say, well, I've tried in the past, or sometimes I share the gospel from a fuel of guilt. You know, the preacher really laid it on me yesterday. And I know I could do a whole lot better at talking to people. I could do a whole lot better at doing a whole lot better. And so I'm going to try something. And then we kind of operate from that fuel of guilt. But I believe that gratitude and not guilt is just a premium fuel to power any evangelistic endeavor. No, we cannot pay Jesus back or for the gospel. But what we can do is we can say it forward. We can be about seeking and saving the lost just as Jesus was. And how would we practically do that? How do we practically say it forward? I'm going to give you three suggestions tonight. And the first is this. We say it forward with our commitment in prayer about all of this. We say it forward with our commitment in prayer about the gospel. And new people hearing it and learning it. If you're tracking along with me, and I hope you are, you might notice in your Bible, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. So I kind of want to flesh out this idea about praying about it, maybe with three sort of prayer ideas or prayer requests. And the first would be this, that our prayers to God are thanksgivings for salvation and spiritual blessings. Gratitude is such a neat attitude and a fuel to run on because it seems like you can kind of produce it, kind of wells up in you. You know how? You count your blessings. You begin to consider what it is God has done for you and what he's given to you. And it kind of brings about a real humility and a thankfulness, a gratitude for all he's done. Now in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. See, when we count our blessings, just to be a child of God, it's a great blessing. What we're taught in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. You are in a better position in your life, in your relationship with God and everybody else, because you're in Christ. You have all spiritual blessings. That's something to be thankful for. You think about peace at night. You think about prayers heard. You think about the fellowship of the church. We could just go on and on counting the spiritual blessings. But they're there for us in Christ. You know, life apart from God is a dark, sinful, guilt-stricken thing. It's lost. That's what it is. But we are found. We are forgiven. We are redeemed in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad about that. I'm so thankful. It fills me with gratitude. And I need to say that to God in prayer. I'm going to tell you a second prayer request, kind of prayer notion. To pray for kingdom growth. And pray for it in this congregation. That's a bold request. But you know, it's an expectation of the members at Livingston Church. I don't want to give away all the wonderful things that you learn in the Getting to Know Livingston class. And by the way, quick plug, the next one is next Sunday. You can sign up for it back at the Guest Center. But next Sunday, we're doing our next Getting to Know Livingston class. But one of the things we talk about is this is not a church where you just kind of come and fill pews. We talk about ways that we work and serve the Lord together in this church. And one of the vital things we ask for people to do is to commit to pray for the church, for the work that we're doing here, and our ministry in spreading the gospel with others, to pray for that. And I'll tell you, we know that God works when we work. And God honors prayers that are in His will. And you cannot read the New Testament and doubt that the will of God is to seek and save the lost with the gospel. We are a church, and we want to be a church that is about kingdom growth, about baptism, about conversions here and abroad. To have a fellowship in that, to have a work in that. That's what we're about. And here's what I know. I know when that work is happening in a congregation, it's attractive. It's attractive to people who are New Testament Christians. And they say, well, hey, the people at Livingston, they're serious about God and His work. And God is honoring that work. And they're seeing people come and visit and study and be baptized. And when they see that, they want to be a part of that. They want to be involved with that. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Who doesn't want to be a part of a church where Christians are getting after the work of the church? And that's making disciples. I have no problem telling anybody they ought to be a member of the church at Livingston. And if you're not, then get the message tonight. You ought to be a member of the church here at Livingston. It's a great place to be. And in this fellowship and in this work, we're about seeking and saving the lost. And I tell you, when I get excited being a part of a disciple-making church. Because it's a growth environment. When you're a part of a church like that, you're around people who are growing deeper in their relationship with God, closer in their fellowship as a church, and bolder in their sharing of the gospel. Bolder in their proclamation of the word. Don't you want to be around people that are growing deeper and closer and bolder? I do. And I see that going on here. I see that's what we're about. But it's all in prayer. We pray for the Lord that He might bless these efforts. We pray. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 4 verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Here are these evangelists. They're locked up. They're in prison. He says that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Think about door like literally, like if he could open the cell door, that would help him preach the gospel. But then you also have the concept of opportunity. Pray for the open door. Verse 4, and that I might make it manifest, clear, known, as I ought to speak. He's praying for that. And I want to pray about that. And I want to be thankful to be a part of a church where it's going on and that it continues. Pray for it. And finally, pray to see some new faces. It's likened to it. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, which is another one of these prison epistles, letters, and it's where the apostle is locked up. It's kind of interesting. In Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14, he turns even incarceration into a way to meet some new faces. And what seems to be happening is, all right, I can't go out and meet some new faces. But every time there's a shift change, every time new guards are coming around, I got some new faces to talk to. Look what happens in Philippians 1 and verse 12. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, he's talking about his incarceration now, this persecution, actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It's become evident to the whole palace guard, all the soldiers, my chains are in Christ. Because somebody would ask Paul, hey, what are you in for? And that's, he started his sermon right there. My chains are in Christ. That's what I'm in for. And they're all hearing the word. And in seeing this wonderful example, it has emboldened those on the outside, the Christians with their freedom, to make the most of it. I've been preaching long enough now to have the opportunity to get back around to some congregations and preach a second time or a third time. Maybe I haven't been to in years. I experience a couple of things when I go and do that. The first is this. I'll go to a congregation. I'll be like, man, there's a lot of new faces in this church. Some people have moved away. Some people have passed away. There's some people I know, and they just haven't changed a bit, right? Nobody ever loses hair or gets any bigger or anything. Haven't changed a bit. I know exactly who they are, and they know me, because nobody changes. No, that's not true. And then there's all these people, I don't know who you are. And can I tell you, I get excited about that. Because that's exactly the way it ought to be. Because if a church will go for 10 years or 15 years and there's no new faces, we got a problem, don't we? And that kind of leads me to the second kind of group that I've had the opportunity to go back around and preach to. And there's not new faces. And people have still moved away. And people have still passed away. But there's not new faces. And that's not where a church needs to be. Not at all. You don't want that. You want new faces. And we need to pray for those opportunities and to see them. We say it forward when we are committed in our prayer to God about sharing the gospel with others. Number two, we say it forward with our contributions throughout the congregation. We say it for with our contributions throughout the congregation. And again, if you're following along, now we're going to the epistle Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to talk a little bit about how the church is a body and everyone has a part to play. It's vital. There's something that you supply. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, the scripture says this, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. I want to encourage you tonight that you say it forward and your contributions can start right here with attendance, with participation in congregational activities. Gratitude is a great fuel for working together in a local church, is it not? When I'm thankful and you're thankful, we just got a bunch of thankful people and we get along really well. Our worship assemblies are enriched by joyful, grateful voices. I appreciate so much Brother Robert's prayer tonight when he prayed for us to worship hard. When he prayed for us to be living the good news. Not just reading it, not just talking about it, but living the good news. Man, I can say amen to that. And I'm grateful for that prayer. It is enriching. It is encouraging. When we worship together, and it's so good when we come together with hearts full of gratitude to give back praise to God. And your attendance and your participation, it just enriches all of that. We have such dedicated teachers in our Bible classes here. And I know that because my children are going through the Bible class program too. And that type of activity, it's so much work and it's a labor of love, and we're planting seeds now, and we're planting seeds now, but it's for the glory of God. That's going to come to fruition. And that attendance and that participation and that activity and that work, it's so meaningful. Whatever it is that we may do in the Lord's cause, we're going to share in it as brethren and reach people for the Lord. And we can do more together. We say it forward when we're working together with our contributions throughout the congregation. I see that also continuing on with the idea of volunteering. In particularly evangelism efforts. Maybe that's where your mind went to first there, but I think a healthy church life and good worship, it all goes together. It's a body. But volunteering work and congregational evangelism efforts. And can I thank, just a moment, he's probably not even here, but I want to thank Peter Murphy for the great work that he does. I think they're on vacation. But the great work that he does, as well as all the coordinators and all of the volunteers for the guest evangelism effort. All of the greeters. I mean, they work hard at it and they do a great, great job. And I want to thank the connection card team and a few people that are here every week. And they get together after services to make sure that those prayer requests and other communications, they go where they need to go. And I'm so thankful to Chris Hagamo because he works to upload guest information to help the over 80 people here who volunteer to write thank you notes and cards to the guests in our assemblies. That's incredible. And we could use some more volunteers in all of those efforts. But I mean, those are some things going on here in the building where we're trying really hard to be saying it forward and helping put the best foot forward. Let me tell you to write two things down if they're not in your notes. August is our When I Grow Up family series. You want to help the church to say it forward? Bring somebody with you to that. October 7th is going to be our next Meet the Church Day. And here's the theme. Here's what we're going to talk about. What if the Bible were true? What if the Bible were true? That's an intriguing question for people who are not sold out that the Bible is the Word of God. I'm going to tell you how that comes off great. This work and this Meet the Church Day, like last year, when we write it on our calendars now, so, you know, we're certain that we go visit our girlfriend at the other congregation the week before and go visit our sweet Aunt Gertrude the next week after that. But that week, October 7th, we're all here, okay? We want to do that. And so work together in an effort to say it forward. All of our contributions count. We need to be mindful of the importance of the free will offering of our money and other resources for the work of the church in this place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to see how gratitude is all wrapped up in the liberal giving of the saints, which is commended for this church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now, there's a particular work in the context here about trying to relieve some needy saints deeply afflicted by a famine in other parts of the world. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, that this is the truth about giving to the work of the Lord. That it's from a cheerful heart. It is as we purpose. And it's important. I'm not the health and wealth prosperity gospel preacher. You guys have heard me long enough to know that. But you can read this and see you're never going to outgive God. You can read this and see that he has given you material blessings for you to invest in the spiritual work of the church. And that that is not a bad investment. It's a very vital investment. And we are so grateful to people who are generous and they give. And in this text, you see that the giving and the resultant good works it funds, it brought joy and gratitude even from others. We do work week in and week out here, supporting preaching and teaching here and in other places. It's a great blessing to be able to do that and to be able to fellowship in those works. And that is a joy and a blessing to you who contribute your monies and others' resources. The truth is that the only way a local church, according to the New Testament, raises funds to be about its work is by the offering of the saints on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. You know, that's new information for some people today. Because there's some people today and some church-going people today that think, well, no, churches do all kind of stuff to make money. I know. I've seen them do it. And I'll tell you, people get very creative. I never forget, a few years ago, there was a new funeral home that started up in Columbia, Tennessee. And that's where I was living at the time. And this fella came up to my house, made a personal call to talk to me about how we can help one another. How he was interested in a partnership with the local church there. And I said, oh? And here was the idea. See, for every family that I would send his way for a funeral, he'd be glad to make a donation, XYZ dollars, to the church. So just send him the people for the funeral, and he'll send me some checks for the church. And I listened to him, and I tried to be just as polite as I could be, but I said, no, sir, I am not interested in that at all. What? Well, what are you doing to make money? I said, we take an offering of the saints on the first day of the week, and that's how we fund the work of the church. And he sat up straight, and he said, well, thank you very much for your time. He got up and he just went on out. All kinds of schemes out there for how people make money. But when we do things God's way, and according to the Bible, it is the free will offering on the first day of the week by the saints. And so it is vital. Gives us a fellowship. We express our gratitude. And we continue on in the great work this congregation does to say it forward. Let me come to you then, number three tonight. We say it forward with our circle of influence. And we work with our circle of influence. You know people that I don't know, and vice versa. And you might think about those people as your circle of influence. And so there is your circle. And there are you, smiling right in the middle of it. There is your circle of influence. People that you know. And your circle might overlap a little bit with mine. And mine can overlap a little bit with yours. But there's a lot of people that you know and I don't. And vice versa. And I just want us to appreciate that I'm so grateful that's the way God has set things up with the people that we know and the influence that we have. Because if a church's potential was limited to the number of people that one person can meet or have relationships with, well, that's just pretty limited. That's going to be difficult after a while. But at Livingston, I'm seeing tonight just a whole big room full of people who know a whole lot of people. And in our circle of influence and the people we know, let us be consistent with the values and the faith we profess. Live consistently with it. Practice a consistent lifestyle. It's like Jesus asks in Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say, and not do the things which I command? Well, that's a great question. And so we want to be the people that are living this word that we're so grateful to have received. Beyond this consistency then in life, that good example that may cause some to come and talk to us about spiritual things, it lends credibility when we make personal connections. I think about the great salt and light teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And how in that text, Jesus said that he has designed his disciples, his people, to be first the salt of the earth. And then the light of the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. For salt to work, it must make contact. And we have the opportunity to make contact with people all around us. And when we do, we begin to expand that circle of influence. When we get a little past the, I don't talk to strangers. And so we talk to a stranger. And you know where you can practice that a little bit? Just right here in the church building. There's some people, sometimes I even tease a little bit. I was like, well, we got this church over here and we got this church over here, you know. But if you walk across the room, you might meet somebody new. And it's a good thing. And it expands the circle of influence a little bit. But beyond these walls, of course, the opportunity to make contact with a new person, to be salt in their life. You're different from the world, but you're near them enough to connect. And that leads then to having spiritual conversations with people, to be that light. You're the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, to be in Christ is to be made light. To be in Christ is to be the city on the hill. To be in Christ is to say, okay, life under the basket, that's done. So if I'm going to live consistently with that word, I'm going to stick out from the world, aren't I? And if we're going to meet somebody new, they're going to say, well, this is not like someone I've met before. What's different about him? And the answer is the faith. These are the things that make us different. And so the courage to speak to someone in such a way that they come to understand, what is it that you're about? Well, I'm about God Almighty, my Father in heaven. And they come to know, and they come to glorify him as well. I think very practically about offering to pray with somebody. When they confide in with you about a need, or you may just ask them if they have a need, can I pray for you about that? To make an invitation to come into worship with us at Living Center, come to a Bible class, bring somebody to a house-to-house meeting, right? Or the teen thing, young people, bring somebody with you to that. That's a great thing. We set up an appointment, maybe, to share the gospel with someone and have a Bible study, or maybe bring another Christian along, kind of do the teaching, but I'm going to kind of facilitate this and get you all together around the same table. I think about Matthew, the tax collector, Levi, the tax collector. He threw a party like that where the people he knew got to meet Jesus, right? And so we have spiritual conversations. Each new connection you make, each spiritual conversation you have, broadens a circle of influence and is another step in the faithfulness of saying it forward, sharing the gospel with someone else. And so this week, let's say it forward. Let's be about our prayers and thanksgivings for the gospel and our congregation. Let's take part in service and opportunities to serve the Lord and work in this congregation. Let's consider about who we can touch and teach the gospel. And our own circle of influence. We're grateful. We can't pay it back. Jesus wants us to say it forward. And I know we can. I appreciate so much your good attention tonight. If you want to put your Bible away and your notes away, we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. When we talk about saying it forward, you know, is where we begin. When you appreciate what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord has given for you, you cannot pay it back. And that's okay. He doesn't want you to, but he wants you to share this good news with someone else, saying it forward. And yet I realize there may well be one or two or more in this room tonight. They've not received that gift from Jesus Christ. They've not been obedient to that gospel of Christ, to have their sins washed away, to be new. But you can. You can right now. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's that gift you can never pay back. Eternal life. Where's it at? In Christ Jesus. And you need to be in Christ Jesus. You get in Christ Jesus when you respond to this gospel message. repent of sin in your life, confess your faith, Jesus is Lord, and be baptized into Christ. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. If we can help you to do that tonight, to be baptized in Jesus, to receive this gift, that you have wonderful, wonderful news to say forward to someone else tomorrow, we want to do that. If we can help you with that or any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?